Rebbe, 9:01, a little late, but we heard a joke. On where to light their Hanukkah.
That's it, where to light their Hanukkah. Meaning, and this, it's a narrow question in Hilchos Hanukkah, but it's a broader question in terms of, I think, the development of Halakha. And that is, as I'll show you, it seems pretty clear that the din is you should light outside. Okay? It also seems to be pretty clear that the minhag is otherwise, or there was a time, I guess in Israel it's slightly different, but you know, in America, growing up, I didn't know anybody who lit outside. Now, let's be clear. I grew up in Long Beach. There was no anti-Semitism. It's not like people were not afraid to light outside. I think it's simply this. People's fathers didn't light outside, and our grandfathers didn't light outside, so they didn't light outside. So the question is twofold. One is, you know, what happens when your family minhag is clearly wrong? It's true your father didn't light outside, it's true your grandfather didn't light outside, but they should have, right? That's one possibility.
Well, they
didn't call it. I'll give you a better example. I spoke to guys in yeshiva yesterday. There's a discussion about what's the proper time to light. Okay? Overwhelmingly, people say at Seis HaKochavim. There are many shitos that you can light, or maybe you should light starting at Shkia or before it says. So I said to them, I assume not a single person here has ever lit Hanukkah candles before it says HaKochavim. I said, but let's be clear. That's not because you have a family minhag. That's because your father never came home from work that early, right? It's really true. So, you know, is it a minhag, or is it just that's what people have been doing, but maybe that doesn't carry, you know, the force of a minhag? If people didn't think about something and they've been doing it, does that really make it the minhag, or is that just, you know, how they did it?
Well, many minhag are exactly like that.
Great, so I'd like to use this as an example to discuss exactly how that would play out. But first, let's look at the din with respect to Neros Chanukah.
In Shari Chesed 2 days ago, they were definitely lighting candles at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, 4:35 probably, which is Shkia. Okay. That's where you do it, that's where you do the anonymous Chesed act.
That's where I grew up.
You can light later. We'll see all this stuff. Okay, so let's look. So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Alafom and Beis, famous Gemara. By the way, if you want to do all the Gemaras on one holiday, Chanukah is the one to do it on, because it's only two blot.
Yeah. So, just for the record, I also said in Long Beach.
Okay. Hudson Street. Excellent. There's really no need for you to clarify the record. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan.
Yeah.
The Gemara says as follows. Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beiso mi bachutz. Right? The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is lahanicha al Pesach beiso mi bachutz, to light it outside. Okay? Now, how do you define the word mitzvah in this line?
A commandment.
Okay. So let's just ask a simple question. We don't know anything else. Mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beiso mi bachutz. One second. And if you don't? I just want to point out, it's an ambiguous term. You could understand mitzvah lahanicha, this is the mitzvah. If you don't do it this way, you didn't get the mitzvah. Right, that is a possible explanation of this, although hopefully not. Because
if you're outside and the wind blows,
we've got plenty of time. It's 9:05. Even Bruce hasn't asked a question yet. You're absolutely right. We have to deal with that question. We have to deal with that question, but let me do the background first. And then I promise if I don't raise it again, come back to it, but I plan to raise it. Now, what if you don't have a Pesach to Rosh Hashanah? I mean, what if you live in an apartment building? So they had such things. Im hayadar ba'aliyah, if you don't have a doorway because you live in an apartment, manicha bechalon hasmucha l'rishut harabim. Okay? So then you light your menorah in a window that faces public property. So right away, I just want to point out, when I asked in the first line, when it says mitzvah lahanichal petach beitel, so I said, maybe if you don't, you're not yotze. So already now, it sounds like that you guys are right. Because it's saying, well, if you don't do it that way, here's another way you could do it, by putting it in the window of your house that faces Rishut HaRabim.
Alternative methods.
Okay. Well, maybe it's only b'diavad, but that's what it says. Now, here's the thing we know. U'bisha'at ha-sakana. Somebody translate that, because I don't want to
define sakana.
What?
I remember that they make the window.
They broke
soldiers,
the window?
Hold on, Hungarian soldiers, right? Yeah. Make the window.
On Hanukkah?
Make the window, so Hanukkah, yeah.
Wow. I think they were not makbid only for Hanukkah.
Inside at the door. Yes. Right. Some door.
Okay, what's shat ha-sakana, times of danger. So obviously, you know, obviously Hungary in the, you know, in the 40s is times of danger.
Curtis.
But what else? Like, is shat ha-sakana... Mm-hmm. I don't know, now in Pittsburgh, is it a shata sakana? In America now, is it a shata sakana? What would you say?
No.
I agree that it would be hard to describe shata sakana as existing now in America. I could see people saying that in France.
Or Detroit, certain neighborhoods of Detroit.
Okay, whatever.
Well, but Muslim. Well, that's the point. Muslim neighborhoods, yeah.
Okay.
Or a tape.
Okay, but we don't call it tape anymore.
Okay.
It's a recording.
So, with this being a physical danger?
Presumably, shata sakana. Okay, so you know what? I have a Rashi here. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Shata sakana. So, first of all, what do you do bishata sakana? Manicha al shulchano vidayo. You light it on your table inside vidayo, and it's enough. It's enough, presumably, because you have no other option. So now Rashi says, what does it mean to light al petach beito mi bachutz? Rashi says mi bachutz. Why do you have to light outside? Mishum pirsume nisa. Right? That's what everybody would say. The point of hadlakas neos Chanukah is to be mefarsim the neis. According to Rashi, it sounds that way. So how could you be mefarsim the neis without having people see? Velo birshut harabim, Rashi says, against Chabad. You don't light in Rishut harabim. Ela bechatzero, in your courtyard. Shebatehen hayu ptuchin lachatzer. Right? So they had houses that opened to a sort of a semi-public area that faced a public area. So you light out there. So you're lighting it as part of your house, but you're lighting it in a way that passerbys can see it. Now, what does it mean, shat ha-sakana? So Rashi says, ha-sakana, shehayu lahem leparsiyim chok biyom edam. The Persians had a particular rule on their holiday, shelo yav'iru ner ela bebeit avodah zarah shelahem. It was prohibited to light candles any place outside of their temple. Okay, now I don't know, does that mean that their holiday always came out on Hanukkah? Or it was an all year long thing, like you could never, right? It would be like Al-Havdu or not, like, you know, if they said now, if Christians said nowadays you can't have a tree in your house at any time during the course of the year because it would undermine our holiday. But for Rashi, let's put it this way, for Rashi, what we thought was obvious isn't so obvious. It wasn't that you're afraid necessarily of anti-Semitism. It was a particular rule that prohibited lighting candles in your house. Now again, ultimately, it's anti-Semitism. I mean, you're afraid that they're going to do something terrible to you if you light. But for whatever reason, Rashi has a more narrow and specific explanation of shat ha-sakana.
Okay. It's strange that Rashi's bringing that, because, you know, Rashi could be talking about what's happening in Europe in the Middle Ages.
Right.
In terms of shat ha-sakana, but he's not explaining it that way.
No, but Rashi knows he's translating a Gemara. Rashi's not saying we have this in France. Rashi's saying, I understand that when the Gemara said shat ha-sakana, that's what they meant. Right?
So what do you understand from the Rashi? Is Rashi saying what we have now in Europe would also be construed as shat ha-sakana?
Your guess is as good as mine. I think Rashi, let's put it this way. From what I understand, and we don't know Rashi specifically, but the Rashba, the Ritva, all these, you know, no one lit outside. It seems pretty obvious. The Meiri, all the Rishonim talk about lighting inside, like that was the obvious thing. I'm not aware of a Rashi that does that, but if you ask me based on others who lived in Europe at that time, or a little bit later, they didn't light outside. Okay? Rashi
I think for most of Rashi's life, life was pretty fine in France. Certainly the last 15 years were crusades. Right. Rashi experienced crusades.
Yeah.
He knew people who were killed. That's a fact. Rashi died in 1105.
Right. First crusade was 1096.
You know, so he, yeah. so he saw
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what we see in the Gemara is two things. Mitzvah lani, the mitzvah is to light it outside. Okay. Bishat hasakana, you can light it on your table inside. So at a minimum, there's no way to read the Gemara other than to say that lechatchila, we're supposed to light outside. Okay, that's clear. Now, how do we paskin? Skip from the Gemara all the way to the 1500s, to the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 2, Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph. The Mechaber says as follows in Si'if Hey. Ner Chanukah Manicha al Petach HaSamoch L'Rshut HaRabim Mibachutz. Right? Light it in the doorway, not the doorway, I guess, the opening that's closest to Rishut HaRabim Mibachutz. So let's say, you know, if you had like a front yard with a gate, you would light it at the gate of your front yard so everybody who passes by can see it. Im habayit patuach l'shut harabim, manicho al pitcho. Okay, if you go out the door and that door opens to Rishus harabim, then you light at the door. Vim yesh chatzer lifnei habayit, if you have a front yard, manicho al petach hachatzer. Then you light it at the gate to your front yard. Vim hayad dar ba'aliyah she'ein lo petach batuach l'shut harabim, if you live upstairs and you don't have a gate to Rishut HaRabim, then like the Gemara said, Manicho bechalon hasamoch Rishut HaRabim, then you light in the window. Ubishat hasakana she'eino rashai lekayem hamitzvah Manicho al shulchano v'dayo. Okay,
why does it say shat hasakana that he refers to?
Huh?
What is it? Is it like Rashi?
I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't say. But one second. But I'm more interested in the next line. Ubishat hasakana she'eino rashai lekayem hamitzvah. It sounds like, right? What does it sound like? Say it. Okay, you can't really do the mitzvah. The mitzvah is lighting outside. Okay, but it's not yaharg val yavar. It's a mitzvah drabanan. So you don't have to put yourself at risk for lighting outside. But the way he writes it, I'm not sure it's the correct deed, but the way he writes it says basically, you're not really getting the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, as we'll see, and if we don't, I'll tell you now. If it really meant you're not getting the mitzvah, then I think he would have paskined light without a bracha. But he paskins light inside with a bracha. So I don't know that he really means you're not getting the mitzvah. Probably he means you're not getting the mitzvah min amuvchar, you know, the choicest of the mitzvahs.
I think he's talking about oil, not candles.
What's the difference?
Well, oil can be protected with a...
But again, you're slightly obsessed with this idea of how you light outside, which we'll get to, I promise. But there's no hint of that. I think in fairness, you're reading it into the Shulchan Aruch.
Do you think they had candles the way we have today, these little...
Wax ones?
These little wax candles? Yeah, I don't think he was
sure
talking about that.
For sure. The Rishonim talk about wax candles. All the posts can talk about wax candles. Right. Again, it's a fair question to say, how do you light outside without a fish tank? Which I think that you're asking. It must have been windy. It must have sunlight been rainy. But I don't think when he says shata sakana, he means that your house is going to light on fire because the wind is going to blow the...
Right.
Okay? But it's a fair point to ask. I think that they were probably more technologically advanced than we think. I think they could have built, you know, something that protects the wood, but it's a fair point and we'll come to it. Okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch so far. Now, two Si'ifim later, in Si'if Zayin, he says as follows. Okay, where do you light exactly? So he says, Mitzvah lahanicho b'tefach hasamuch lepetach mismol. Right, the best place, as we know, is to light on the left side of the front door. How does that work? Kidei shetehei mezuzah miyamin. V'ner Chanukah mismol. Right, that's the straight halacha that you're wrapped in mitzvos when you walk in. You have a mezuzah on the right and your Chanukah candles on the left. Again, practically speaking, it's very, very hard in a doorway. You know, like, okay. Second line. V'im ein mezuzah bepetach manicho mimin. If you, for whatever reason you don't have a mezuzah,
what is it? Why would you? I mean, he doesn't have a mezuzah. I mean, could it be? Why?
So it could be. Maybe he's talking about an outside gate, right? If for whatever reason,
mezuzah.
Huh? No, if you have a gate to your yard, it doesn't have. It doesn't have a mashko. If it doesn't have two mezuzah, I'm not sure. Okay, but let's say for whatever reason it fell down. I don't know. V'mein mezuzah bepetach manicho mimin. Okay. If you're doing it in the doorway itself, then you do it, you know, if the doorway is thick, you do it from the halfway point to inside on the left side. Okay, that's easy. Now, here comes the Ramah. This is critical for us. Haggah, third line towards the end of the line. Umiyu bizman hazeh shekulanu madlichin bifnim. The Ramah, again, 1500s, Ramah's saying, I don't know anybody who lights outside. Okay? Nowadays, that everybody lights inside. Ve'ein heker libnei risarabim klal. Not only that, it sounds like they didn't light in the window. Presumably, the Ramah's saying it's a shasa sakana.
Not necessarily, he doesn't say that.
I know he doesn't say that, but I'm extrapolating.
16th century Poland, again, it was not a picnic.
But I'm just saying, there's two things here. One, he says everybody lights inside, so which I assume means they light inside for a good reason. But then he says we don't even light in the windows. Yeah. That's where I make the inference from.
Okay, where did the Ramah live in the Shulchan Aruch?
Krakow.
Right? Krakow, 16th
Krakow. Century. Krakow. Why the Shulchan Aruch has that you're lighting outside.
Great.
With an Eretz Yisrael.
The Shulchan Aruch has that you're lighting outside because that's what the Gemara says. Now, you're right, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, living in Tzfat in the 1500s, wasn't subject to much in the way of anti-Semitism. You're absolutely right. I'm not saying the Ramah says this l'chatchila. The Ramah just takes as a given. Everybody who lives in Europe, we light inside, and we light not only inside, we don't light in the window. Okay, that's why I'm saying, I assume it's a shasa sakana, but I can't be 100% sure. So he says, we light inside, and nobody could see. Then ein lachush kol kach im ein madlikim b'tefach hasamuch lepetach. It doesn't exactly matter that you're lighting on the left side of the front door, because the answer is you're not doing it outside. Now, I would bet nobody here has ever lit in their doorway inside. I mean, if you have a fish tank, so you light outside, but why? Because it blows out when you open the door. Nobody lights in their doorway in America. Even though that seems like it might have been the better minhag, because when you open the door, your menorah blows out. Okay, let's continue. Fourth line from the end, beginning of the line, it says Lamed Zayin in parens, Umikol makom haminhag lahadlik b'tefach hasamuch lepetach kamo b'imehem. The minhag is to light in the doorway as we used to do. Ve'ein l'shanot, and we shouldn't change that. Ella imkein rabim b'nei habayit, unless you have a lot of people lighting, which in our case everybody has that in their families. She'adif yoter lalik kol achad b'makom miyuchad mila arev haneirot biyachad. He says it's much better for people to light in separate places in the house rather than for everything to have six menorahs in one place. Why? Because if you have six menorahs in one place, then ve'ein heker kama neirot madlikin. The whole point of Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is that somebody walks by and goes, oh, I see it's the fifth night of Hanukkah. But if you have all these menorahs on top of each other, he can't tell at all. So you're losing that chumrah. So instead of having everybody light in one place, in the doorway, we light in different places so that everybody could have a separate place for their menorah. Mikamakom, last full line in the middle. Yizaharu shelo lehadlik b'makom shemadlikin haneirot kol hashana. It's important that you not light your menorah in a place where they light all year long. All we have really left of that is Shabbos candles. Right? It's probably best not to light menorah where you light your Shabbos candles. Why? Because Shabbos candles are supposed to be there for light. It's true, we have electricity now, but really that's the real reason you light Shabbos candles, is that your house will have light on Shabbos, which is exactly the opposite of why you light a menorah, right? You're not supposed to have hana or use it. Ki az lo yeheker klal, because if you light where you light your Shabbos candles, it won't be clear that you're doing this for Chanukah. Va'af ki ein heker rak libnei abayit, Mikal makom heker tzat mihaboy. Now he's saying, but does that really matter? If you're just lighting inside, everybody knows that you're lighting it for Hanukkah. Everybody knows that this is a menorah you're lighting and not the Shabbos candles. Nevertheless, he says, this should be, you know, a little bit of a heker. It should be different. People in the house should realize that you're not lighting it for light. You're lighting it for purposes of Hanukkah. Okay? So what he has here is he takes as a given, right, that everybody lights inside. There's no heker to B'nai Rosh Hasharabim. Right? Nobody sees what's going on outside. So, you know, you can light in different places so that people don't light on top of each other. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Brura in source number 4, on that line about you can light where you want in the house, says as follows. Umikal makom. Im yesh lo chalon hasamoch l'shut harabim. Nachon yoter shi'anichenu sham. If you have a window that faces a public street, it's much better to light in that space. Kidei shiyeh heker libnei reshut harabim, so that the people passing by will know. V'yit parseim hanes, and the miracle will be publicized. Im lo b'makom d'shchicha hezeka al yidei zeh. Unless it's a place where you're running some kind of risk, you know, by lighting outside. Now, a few points. I mean, let me make a few points. One is, what does it mean that you're lighting in a window so that all of the Rosh Hasharabim will see, but it's a Shas HaSakana? Right? Those two things seem inconsistent to me. If you're lighting in the window, it means you're not afraid of anti-Semitism. Right? So if you're not afraid of anti-Semitism, you know, why don't... Again, the assumption is, and I think it's a fair assumption, that the Mishnah Brura in Radin in the 1900s lit in his house in the window. So you know, I'm obviously not smarter than Mishnah Brura. I'm just saying, I don't get it. If you're lighting inside, then it means you're lighting inside because you're afraid of something. But if you're doing it in the window so that everybody will see, then
could the window be facing a private courtyard?
No, because he says im yesh lo chalon hasamuch lirshut harabim. The whole point, he says, is so that nachon yotesh yanuchenu sham kidei sheyihye heker libnei reshut harabim v'yit parseim hanes.
But isn't aren't they using reshut harabim based on the original Gemara in the sense of an internal culture?
No, definitely not, because he's saying v'yit parseim hanes. He wants everybody to see.
You could have a big culture. You could have 10 neighbors.
No, but he said when he says Rishut Harabim, he means the street.
But couldn't it be
I have no doubt.
Couldn't it be a Jewish street or Jewish neighborhood generally? Jews lived congregated among other Jews.
Okay, good.
But so generally Jewish neighborhood.
Great, so but what's the situation now? Meaning, I'm saying, if you're lighting in the window, why aren't you lighting outside?
So could it be a weather thing in the middle of Poland?
Okay, good.
And snow and...
I agree completely. So there is something to it. Okay? Now, the question is... let's assume this is a fair...
There's also a difference between standing outside, a whole family light candles with their aquarium on the street in Manchester or... there's no American equivalent in Europe.
Obviously, because our cities have plumbing.
No, yeah. I imagine.
Okay.
And what could be a so-so neighbor?
Okay, so your answer is...
There's a difference between standing outside...
Your answer is singing Moe's Tour outside
brings
the Nazis.
And maybe lighting in your window is okay.
Okay, I'm not arguing. All I'm saying is there needs to be an explanation for how we got to the point where we do Pirsume Nisa, but from inside and not outside. So... Your explanation could be as good as anything I'm going to say. People struggled with this question. Over time, I'm obviously not the first person to ask it. People have struggled with it one way or the other. I'll quote the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan lived well into the 20th century in Europe. I don't remember where.
I think in Russia.
The Aruch HaShulchan is the Torah Tumah's father.
Right.
Right? I don't. I don't know. The Torah Tumah lived in Valozhin. He went to yeshiva there. I don't know exactly where he lived. It's hard to know. No, he's the great uncle of the Nitziv. No, I'm sorry. No, the Torah Tumah was the Nitziv's nephew. I know this because he wrote a book called My Uncle the Nitziv. Okay, it's a great book. Except when the Tziv's first wife died, as bizarrely happened very often, the Netziv married the Torah Tumim's sister, thus making him his nephew and his brother-in-law.
Oh.
So it makes it a complicated like family
Abraham,
tree.
Avraham and Lot.
Avinu.
Avraham Avinu and Lot.
Okay. He's in Novar Duk.
There was a brother-in-law.
Okay, where's that? He was in Navardic. Can't you read English?
That's in Navardic. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Right.
I'm reading a new book. So.
Okay. Where's Navardic?
Somewhere east.
In the pale somewhere.
It's in like Galicia, one of these places.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at one answer by the Aruch HaShulchan. Source number 5. He says, Vihine ata, now, Ein anu madlikim bachutz. He says the minog is, nobody lights outside. Va'af she'ein sakana etzleinu.
There isn't.
Huh?
That's why I ask you, where did he live?
That's why I answered, I don't know.
Av she'ein sakana. It's always a sakana.
No, why is there? There's not a sakana now, is there?
Look in America.
No, here. Sakana.
Could somebody look up where Rav Michal Epstein Halevi,
Lithuania.
Okay.
There you go.
He lives.
Well, there we go.
I get.
No.
Huh? Okay,
1829,
1908.
It's always a school.
Okay, so you're a lot of paskin against the Aruch HaShulchan.
I'm not paskin, but I understand what he said.
Okay, so he says, Va'af she'en sakana etzleinu.
This I don't understand.
There were times, Mr. Weiser, there were times in Jewish history where Jews and Goyim, even in Europe, lived in peace. Presumably he lived in such a time. Okay? Mikol makom. He says, nevertheless, Kimat hu me hanim naot. It's almost impossible to light outside. Why? Mipnei she bechol hamedinot shalanu yemei Chanukah heim yemei sagrir geshem v'sheleg v'ruchot chazakim. Okay. Ve'iyef shala hanicham bachutz. Listen to this. Im lo lahaskiram bizchuchit. He says, I realize there is a way to do it outside. You could put it in a fish tank.
Right.
And, fish tanks are apparently not a 21st century invention. Right? There were ways to protect. They had lamps in the streets that were enclosed in glass. That's how people lit in their houses. They had this for hundreds of years. It's not like a modern thing. No, not yet. I'm making a point. Okay?
Okay.
So he says the obvious thing is, we could light outside. So why doesn't he do it? I'll just say this. My father-in-law, Zichron Levracha, he was the only person I knew who lit outside. He lived in Montreal. It was a really big deal. He had this like a flamethrower, to light the things in the, in the glass thing. It was, it's like not an easy thing at all. He'd be there in the middle of snowstorms, doing the thing. Okay, now watch. I didn't allow for a real question. I can't allow for jokes now.
Okay.
Ve'ef shar lahanicham bachutz im lo lahaskiram bizchuchit. He says, V'kuli hai lo atrichuhu rabbanan. Listen, it's a mitzvah rabbanan. People have been lighting inside for a long time. They didn't make you go out and buy this expensive thing that would, that would keep your flames blowing, going even in the snowstorm. Va'od, he says, in addition, de'bizeh lo heker le'mitzvah kol kach. I guess if there's a storm outside and nobody's walking around and it's in an enclosed thing, it may not be as obvious to people who are walking by that these are candles that are lit. V'gam lo b'chol ha'mekamot yanichu la'asot kach. And also, maybe there are places they won't let you light outside. It wasn't like, in Efrat. Presumably, you would actually have to light. Maybe you'd have to actually light in Rosh Hasharabim. Right? You'd be lighting on the sidewalk. Because if your house came right up against the public property, V'lachen kulanu madlikin babayit. He says, flat out, kulanu madlikin babayit. Therefore, we all light inside. So that was your answer, which is, it's not anti-Semitism. It's exceptionally hard to light outside. It's the winter, it's windy, it's raining, it's snowing. Therefore, the minhag became...
Yeah.
Okay? Yes?
What year was that?
What year? What did we say?
1898.
He lived in the early 20th century.
He died in 1908.
Late 1800s.
None of you believed in the Europe. Only I lived in Europe.
I lived in Europe. What do you mean?
I just put before the war.
Brexit, you got it.
But in fairness, Mr. Wisely, you didn't live in Europe in the 1800s.
Before the war, lived in Europe. None of you.
Okay.
It was a scorner, always a scorner. All the two.
Okay.
Put it in the window or the outside because the goyim or the shkutzim and the
okay. Okay.
Shkutzim, I think those are bad
guys. Okay. Good. Everybody stop.
The reason why I said that is because of a favorite hobby of mine. I checked what the web was until about 1815.
Okay, shh. 1 second.
And
it's like this is the second coming of Barry Lynn.
No, Waterloo.
I do know that. And the weather was a lot rougher.
Okay.
So the point being,
Napoleon.
There actually is, believe it or not, and it actually has a name. It's called the Little Ice Age for Europe.
Okay. Look, there's another example of this. Anybody know what other minhag we have that's against the halacha that relates to European weather?
Sukkah.
Right. When you grew up, nobody slept in a sukkah. It wasn't because of the gayim necessarily, it was because of the weather.
You almost couldn't sit for a second.
Okay, great. Now,
the weather changed.
One second. The gayim won't let us.
Yeah, there was a story in a Chabad magazine half a year ago about this Shliach Chabad in Lithuania or somewhere.
Okay.
He tried setting up a sukkah outside.
Okay.
You know, some nice neighbors call the police.
Okay, but a sukkah is different than a menorah.
Right. You can imagine they would call the police. You need a fire. Making a fire on the side.
Okay, maybe you're right. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to continue no matter what. Rav Asher Weiss asks the following question, and it's a question any one of us could have asked. No, it's not on the sheet.
Rav Asher
Weiss's farm don't appear in the Bar Ilan. He asked the following question, which is, I don't get it. If the mitzvah is to light outside, we read the Gemara says the mitzvah is to light outside, and there's no sakana. It just involves buying a fish tank. Like, why would you think that that's not the mitzvah? Right? Would anybody say, listen, I know there's a mitzvah. What mitzvah drabbanan is parallel to hadlakas neros Chanukah? There's only one other.
Purim.
Not Purim necessarily. Kriyas HaMegillah. So somebody would say, listen, Chazal aren't going to be matriach me to buy a Megillah. There's no one around. Of course they would. If that's the mitzvah, that's the mitzvah. I mean, if you have no money, that's different. Mm-hmm. But why would we say that the mitzvah is to light outside, and it's not a shas hasakana for whatever reason? But it involves some difficulty. How could that possibly be? So he wants to claim that the only explanation is that it's not really that the way to do the mitzvah is to light outside. The way to do the mitzvah is to light. All things being equal, you know, probably the best thing is to light outside. But all things are never equal. It's not like it's really lechatchila and b'yevet. It's, you know, you have to light a Chanukah menorah on Chanukah, and lighting the menorah is a mitzvah, and it reminds us of what of the miracle, etc., etc. In a perfect world, all things being equal, you light outside. But all things are not equal, so you could light where it's most convenient. And he quotes a Beis Yosef in source number 6 to support his idea. The Beis Yosef here is talking about Hilchos Mezuzah. And he says, "Umasha kasa v'nira she'im shina be'elu hamakamot eno ma'akev." There, the tour says, "This is how you're supposed to put up a mezuzah. It has to be on the right side. It has to be a third of the way down. All these different requirements." And he says, "But it's not ma'akev." Says the Beis Yosef, "Nira she'ta'amo." The reason why it's not ma'akev, mishum de'bechol hani amrinan lishna de'mitzvah. Because we keep using the word the lashon of mitzvah, meaning mitzvah lahanicha b'toch halalo shel petach. Right? There's a mitzvah to put your mezuzah up in the doorway. Mitzvah la nicho betefach hasamach l'shut harabim. The mitzvah is to do it in the halfway and out towards l'shut harabim. Mitzvah la hanicha b'tchilat shlish ha'elyon. This is a mitzvah to do it in the right at the top, you know, two thirds of the way up. Umashma lezal, he says that this language sounds dehain lomar de mitzvah hachi v'imshina lo pasal. He's not saying this is the mitzvah. He's saying it's a mitzvah. Like mitzvah in this context means something like it's a really lovely thing to do, right? It's a hiddur. It's a great thing to do if you're able to put up your mezuzah exactly two thirds of the way on the outside half of the right thing. Beis Yosef says, but if you put it up halfway up because the top thing you couldn't attach to whatever, you still yotzei the mitzvah. And it doesn't even sound like you yotzei the mitzvah on some lower level. You didn't do it perfectly, but you still yotzei. Says Rav Asher Weiss, mitzvah la'nicho al petach beitomi b'chutz is the same exact thing. It's not lechatchila and b'di'eved. It's all things being equal, the perfect way to light Chanukah menorah is to light it outside. Okay, but if for whatever reason, obviously shasa sakana, but even if it's not shasa sakana, it's unpleasant to stand outside because it's cold. Okay, I once was an NCSY advisor and I helped make this guy from. Okay, but then of course he got really frum. Mm-hmm. And I went to his wedding, which was held in Philadelphia. It was -6 degrees. Okay, I think it's pretty clear. You don't have an outdoor chuppah when it's -6 degrees. Okay, he's very frum.
Fahrenheit.
Okay, you're right. It wasn't that cold. Oh no, no, sorry, it was cold. It was Fahrenheit. It wasn't Celsius, right? You know. Now, in fairness. They were good to the people. This is unbelievable. I never had a thing like this. We sat inside with a screen. Okay? Now they walked down the aisle and outside through an outside door where you could watch the chuppah on a video screen. And this is the kind of chuppah where you're sitting there going, "Dear God, don't give me a kibud. do not call me up for anything because I have to then go outside." Okay? Now that's the thing. So I think common sense says, you know, I always wanted to get married outside and there's such a, you know, chumrah or minhog or what have you. But it's -6 degrees. So I'm not going to do it. So I think that Rav Asher Weiss says he thinks the minhog developed because to begin with, it wasn't an all or nothing proposition. Right. And maybe it's nicer, it's more pleasant, and it's cold, and it's rainy, and what have you. But that doesn't really answer, okay. But now none of those reasons apply. It's not cold in Israel. You know, unless you live like in Tzfon, Tel Aviv, there's not a lot of like anti-Semitism, let's say. You know, it's all fine. Now he admits, by the way, that this is not the Rambam. You know, his pshat that, you know, all things being equal, light outside, that's not the Rambam. Look at number 7. The Rambam, in his description of what the holiday of Chanukah is, says as follows. Umipnei zeh, because of the miracle of the war and the oil, what have you, hitkinu chachamim shel boto hador, chachamim who lived at that time, were metaken, sheyihiyu shmonat hayamim ha'elu, that these 8 days, shetchilatan milel chamishava esrim b'kislev, beginning on the 25th of Kislev, Yimei Simcha v'Halel, they should be days of happiness and Halel. Umadlikin bahen haneirot ba'erev al pitchei habatim b'chol laila v'laila mishmonat halelot leharot ulegalot hanes. He says the Rambam describes lighting outside as the essence of Chanukah. Not as some chumrah, not as, therefore, Chazal war mitakein, that we light outside 8 days, laharot ulegalot hanes. Why do we light? What's the reason for the Rambam in Hebrew? Pirsumei nisa. Pirsumei nisa. And therefore, you can understand that. Pirsumei nisa can only take place outside. It's almost like there's no reason to light inside. You're not, according to the Rambam, you're not accomplishing anything, because the whole purpose of lighting. See, you could say two things. You could say that it's true that hadlakat neirot Chanukah has an element of pirsumei nisa in it, but you could say, but the main thing is lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. I'm recreating the miracle right? There's a mitzvah to do exactly what was done in the Beit HaMikdash, so I'm recreating the miracle. Now, as a secondary point, I would like people to know that it's Hanukkah. I'd like people to know that there was once this great miracle, and therefore I'm going to try to light in a place that everybody can see. But that's, one second, but that's only the secondary point. The primary point is, I'm lighting Hanukkah. I'm lighting a menorah. That's what Chazal commanded me to do. The Rambam would say that's not true. The Rambam would say, the reason why you're lighting is to publicize the miracle. If you're not publicizing the miracle, there's simply no reason to light. Now, I think the Rambam would have to say that Bishata Sakana, the Rambam doesn't relate to that at all, as far as I know. I think, and the Rambam knew what Shata Sakana is, I assume. Right? I assume life wasn't fantastic. And, right. I mean, the Rambam ran away from a lot of stuff and landing up in Egypt, you know, they had a very strong Jewish community, but there must have been some element of anti-Semitism. But that's the Rambam. The Rambam says that the whole mitzvah is for Pirsumei Nisa. Now, let's talk about this for a second.
So rather than lighting the 50th floor of your apartment window and you're going to a wedding that night, maybe you should light, like in a place where there's a few thousand people who will see it, Pirsumei Mitzvah.
Well, so again, yes or no, because it's not clear. Because we're not talking about it now, but it's clearly a mitzvah of your house. Meaning, there's a big... So we have a minhag, I believe that at most weddings they light.
Yeah.
And certainly we light in shul.
It's not with a brachah.
So it's a whole machlokas. But the thing is, if you're saying, if it's only about Pirsumei Nisa, then I should light in Yankee Stadium. I should go find the biggest crowd. But I think the Rambam would say that, yes, but you still need... It's like saying, well, it's Pirsumei Nisa, so I'll light a note. You know, we have this huge family get together on Thanksgiving. It's in November, it's true, it's not Hanukkah. But I could be mefarsh that this is, you need certain elements. Mm-hmm. The mitzvah is tied to your house, so you could, you know, then you can only do it in your house. Okay. Now, so the Rambam will say that the whole mitzvah is Pirsumei Nisa. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says on this point in number 9. Oh no, I'm sorry.
I skipped it,
and I want to do 8 because I want to tie two things together. Look at number 8. What I want to do is the following. I think Rav Asher Weiss writes this also. He's, again, once you define, there's two elements that we're playing with in terms of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. One is where do you light? So the Rambam is very clear, you have to light outside. And the other issue is time, right? What time do you have? What's the time frame in which you have to light? So look at an interesting halacha. The Rambam says in number 8, Perek Dal Halacha Hey. Ein madlikin neirot Chanukah kodem shetishka hachama. You can't light before Shkia. Nobody does that.
Well, yeah, you do. You do Friday.
I'm well aware of that. Ela im Shkiata. Ela im Shkiata. You light at Shkia. Lo ma'achrin v'lo ma'akdimin. So machlok is whether when the Rambam says Shkia, he means what we call tseis or not. But okay. Now, second line. Shachach ohezid. You forgot to light. Or you were amazed, right? Or you were at work. Vidlo hidlik im shkiat hachama, and you didn't light at the right time. Madlik veholech ad shetichle regel min hashuk. You can continue lighting until foot traffic ends. Now this is a big machlokas. For the most part, and I don't understand this at all, we continue to adopt ad shetichle regel min hashuk as being 30 minutes from tseit hachama, from tseit HaKochavim, which it's not the reality. It could be the reality, you know, in Europe in the 1500s and the 1600s.
Without electricity.
Okay, but I'm telling you, halacha lemaisa. You look it up any place. We still talk about Atshe Tichle Regel Min Hashuk as being a half an hour from Seis HaKochavim, which basically means by 6 p.m. But well, let me just finish the Rambam now. Here he says. V'kama huzman zeh kimo chatzi sha'a o yeter. A little more than a half an hour. But here's the line we want. Avar zman zeh eino madlik. The Rambam says if you miss that window, you don't light at all. Again, we don't pass in this way. You don't light at all. What could possibly justify the Rambam's shita? No, because you could light without a bracha. What justifies the Rambam's shita is he thinks it's all about Pirsumei Nisa. And if it's the case that people aren't walking around anymore, then there's simply no reason to light. again, the Rambam's focused, you have to light outside and you have to light while people are walking by. Yeah. If you're missing either one of those, you're finished. Because there's no reason to light, because the only reason to light is for Persume Nisa. Now, look at number 9.
Just to find just other Jews, if you're the only Jew in town, would it matter?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's limited to Jews.
In terms of publicizing the miracle, isn't there an element of publicizing to one's own family?
Yeah, excellent. So that has to be. So look at number 10. The Magid Mishnah, we'll come back to that in a second. Okay. The Magid Mishnah says, Nireh, Shelamdu mimashin nitpa'er, Perek Zayin Milchos Chameitzu Matzah, Sheafilu ani b'Yisrael lo yifchot midalet kosot, Vata mishum pirsumei nisa. There is a din that even if you're extremely poor, you should collect money so that you will have enough money to drink the 4 cups at the Seder. Why? Because it's Persume Nisa. Now, we drink the 4 cups at the Seder inside our house. We don't go in the street. So you're absolutely right that there has to be some element of Persume Nisa, even if it's just for your wife, even if it's just for your children, maybe even if it's just for you. You're absolutely right that there is an element of Persume Nisa that the Rambam is ignoring. You would have to say that the Rambam believes that the mitzvah of Chanukah is external Persumei Nisa and not internal. But it's a very fair point, which is, I could like, when I have a Chanukah party, here, in Bruce's example of a wedding. So you go, yeah, but all the people at the wedding are religious, they all know it's, you know. The answer is, of course you get Persumei Nisa, even if, right? The Rambam would think, I assume, that if you live in New Square, you still light outside. But everybody knows it's Chanukah. They're all, you know, Skvera Chasidim. So the answer is there must be some Pirsumei Nisa, and why the Rambam ignores the internal Pirsumei Nisa in favor of the external Pirsumei Nisa is not 100% clear to me. Who disagrees, and it's good luck for us, for anybody who ever had a job and didn't make it home before 6 o'clock, we paskin otherwise. Look at number 9. The Rambam says, Yesh omrim, shebizman hazeh shemadlikim bifnim, Ein tzarich lihizaher ulahadlik kodem shetich laregel min hashuk. The Rambam says nowadays that we light inside, it could be that you don't have to be so careful to light within a half an hour. Exactly, but he's saying, because that's where my Persumei Nisa is. Umi kol makom, he says, nevertheless, tov lihizaher gam bizman hazeh. Okay, it's still good to be careful bizman hazeh, to try to light in the first half hour. Umiu, hani mili lechatchila. That's just lechatchila in a perfect world. Aval im avar zman, im avar missed the first half an hour, madlik v'holech kol alayla. Yeah, you can light all night long, and presumably it's because he thinks that there's an element to lighting Chanukah candles that's not Persumei Nisa based. It's just me recreating the miracle, or said a different way. Once Chazal came along and said there's a mitzvah of hadlakas neres Chanukah, it could be that they said it for Persumei Nisa purposes because they wanted to publicize the miracle, but it took on an independence of its own. And even if you can't publicize the miracle, you can still light. We fudge it a little bit halacha l'maisa. For example, we pass halacha l'maisa if you came home really late. Let's say you came home from a wedding, you know, it was 11 o'clock, or you just got back from a flight, you know, at 12 o'clock at night. It's safe to say that even in Efrat, you know, it's unlikely that there's a lot of people walking back and forth at 12 o'clock at night. We pass in halacha l'maisa that probably you should wake somebody up in your house.
I would love that.
So that, you know.
That's why I have a dog.
So that, I believe that the halacha is limited to Homo sapiens. Okay? Yeah. But why? Because we want there to be some pirsumi, right? We want you to light in front of somebody who'll see the miracle. Okay? So, what we have is, what I believe is, a real machlokas about the main point of lighting is the main point for lighting. Mm-hmm.
Can you take a video? Can you video
it online?
Right, so that's where.
And everyone sees.
So, Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, 2 years ago, shortly after Donald J. Trump was elected president, his daughter and son-in-law, you know, posted to Facebook, they were vacationing in Hawaii for Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. And they posted online a picture of them, you know, next to their two or three children and the menorah's lit. So of course, the, you know, the hateful people who have something against them or otherwise are liberal or Democrats, I don't know. So they basically said, well, they're not from, they didn't light at the window, you know, who's the Yosef? And somebody else posted, you know, idiot. Their post got, you know, 75,000 likes. Like, how many people saw your menorah? So, you know, but so it's true and it's not true. I think the answer is we've bought into, we have to do mitzvahs the way they're described. Right? We can't, you know, we can't do it otherwise. If it's not your house and it's not something, you know, with candles and it's not the din, so you can't do it. But on top of that, if you could then post it someplace and people will see, I can't see why not. But what you can't do is change the essence of the mitzvah. The essence of the miracle of the mitzvah is taking a menorah and using some kind of real flame, right, and trying to light it in a way. But I think you're right. I think once you do it that way, there's an opportunity to expand and to publicize the miracle more.
So it's not about doing the right thing when they have these. So again, menorahs in public
places. It's not for me to say if they're doing the right thing or not. I'll say this. I think there's a real halacha question whether you can make brachos when you're just lighting in the street. Uh-huh. It could be that we're already past that. I don't know. You know, if they call me up to light in the White House, well, the truth is the White House is a house.
Yeah.
So it could be. Huh? On
the lawn.
Right. They once at work, it's funny, you know, I worked in like a gigantic office building in Manhattan. And so they would have, you know, the lobby was decorated with like trees for the other holiday, and then there'd be like a little menorah. So the firm was a big tenant in the building, so they said, you know, can you get somebody to light? There was a lighting ceremony every afternoon. So they came to me to ask me. And I said no. One, because I don't think that you have a chiyuv to light in an office building. Two, it was electric. So like the idea, you know, I didn't want to go there and say, you know, Baruch atah, you know, like if that felt funny doing that.
So did someone do it in there?
I assume I didn't go to the ceremony.
You
know. Now, one second. I need to say this before we finish because then you'll go. So in the end, here's a fantastic. But in the end, it seems obvious that lighting outside is the right thing to do. It really does. And the question is, and people still deal with it, but nevertheless, plenty of frum people light inside. Right? So I think it's clear they light inside because their fathers lit inside, because their grandfathers lit inside, and they don't want to change anything. But nevertheless, you know, modern day poskim struggle with this and try to come up with halachic justifications for why to not do it outside. Okay? Here's the most creative one. Look at number 11. It's not what the Magen Avraham meant, but it's been used by others to use this. He says, the Magen Avraham says, "V'im ha'amido b'makom haruach." Okay, the din is as follows: that we paskin kavsa ein zakul kla, which means if you lit a menorah with enough oil or wax or what have you for it to last more than a half an hour, and something unusual happens and it goes out, you yotzei the mitzvah. You don't have to relight. Okay? So he says, v'im hamido b'makom haruach. But if you left it someplace where the wind blows regularly, v'kavsa, and the wind blew it out, then zokukla, then you aren't yotzei the mitzvah, and you have to relight. Dehave ki'ilu lo natan ba shemen kishiur. Because it's as if you didn't put in enough oil, right? You can't put in enough oil for 10 minutes and then go, well, I did my best. It went out, I don't have to relight. You have to. But the second time he says, he says, but you have to relight. Okay, fine. Now, here's the explanation. What I think is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said this. He said it means when you light, at the moment that you light, it has to be that you would expect it to last, you know, for half an hour, for an hour, whatever.
It has potential to last.
Not potential. You would expect it to. Something might happen, but under ordinary circumstances, this thing is going to stay lit, right? When you light your Shabbos candles, it could be somebody opens a window right across, but you expect it to last. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, maybe the reason why people don't light outside is because when you light, you have to pick up the front of your fish tank. So at the actual moment of lighting, it's in a state that if you left the front of the fish tank open, there's a pretty good chance it would blow out at some point. So he says maybe the reason why, it's very creative, Maybe the reason why people don't light outside is because even though you put it in a fish tank, you can't light it with the fish tank closed. And at that moment in time, using this Magen Avraham, you know, it's not going to last. And therefore, okay, it's clear that's not right. I don't think he means it seriously, although I don't know if Tzvi Pesach Frank lit outside or not. The other reason people give is that there's not enough room outside. Sometimes you see pictures, like outside, there's like 20 menorahs outside of an apartment building. And it's not really your menorah at that point. It's not attached to you. No one knows that it's your apartment that's being lit for.
Like in a hotel.
Huh?
The hotel lobby.
So there are a lot of explanations. But if you ask me, it really is a thing where, you know, you remember how you lit as a kid, and so you want to continue that. Lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, it's clear that the din is you could light inside, but it's also probably clear that there's something to, you know, to lighting outside. I know a gadol who lights both. He lights outside and makes a bracha because he thinks that's right, but he lights inside afterwards because that's what his family's minhag was. And also the truth is, we do that because we don't have enough outdoor ones. We don't do it for the other reasons, but it's nice because what happens is, there's a menorah inside your house, right? If you light outside, and then you come in, and there's no menorah inside, it doesn't feel like Hanukkah inside. I mean, it does feel like Hanukkah. You could eat stuff, but there is something nice to having a menorah burning inside your house. And maybe it's not for me to turn it into a chumrah, but it's a cool thing because then you get both kinds of Pursumei Nisa. You get the external Pursumei Nisa because you left it on the street and everybody will see that it's Hanukkah. And you get the internal family Pursumei Nisa in which your family feels like, and when you sit around having dinner, you could see the menorah and it, you know, it feels warm and fuzzy. Chanukah Sameach.
Chanukah Sameach. See you next week, Kelly. What street on Long Beach? Was it Walnut?
Magnolia Boulevard.
What neighborhood?